You believe in Jesus?
Yes.
You've got resurrection power.
Awesome.
Power that takes things that are dead and brings them back to life. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're starting off a little late for All Saints Day. It's supposed to be November 1st, but we're celebrating it today nonetheless. So there's some things I'd like to clear up about. What is a saint? Anybody have any idea? What is a saint? Do we have any saints here?
All of us.
All right, yeah? Okay. So those of you that didn't raise your hands, either you're too Lutheran to do that, that you just can't bring yourself to lift a hand during worship, or you don't get it. Or maybe a combination of the both. The Bible tells us that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, through the waters of our baptism or for the hearing of his word, we become saints. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem because we're born dead. You guys ever see that movie many, many years ago called The Sixth Sense? This guy that could see dead people. He says, I see dead people. They're everywhere. Well, spiritually speaking, that's true in this world today, and it always has been. I see dead people everywhere. People that have not come into faith, they're dead in their trespass. They're dead in their sin. And when God calls us through his word and in the waters of our baptism, he gives us new life. It's a drowning of that old sinful Adam and a resurrection of Saint you. You become a saint then. Saints are not made. Here's what we believe. I don't want to get in an argument with people that believe otherwise, but we believe that saints are made by God, not by people. We don't get together a convention of people and say, you're going to be a saint now. We believe that everybody that has been called to faith in Jesus Christ is a saint. Now, here's the issue with that. Because the saint has moved into this house with a sinner. Because that sinner doesn't go away. Because even though in baptism we drown that old Adam, guess what? That old Adam is a good swimmer. He keeps popping up. And that's why we always do confession and absolution. And you don't have to wait to come here to have your sins absolved. You can talk to Jesus anytime. So do we pray to saints? No. We don't pray to saints. Why would we? Why would I call the middleman if I can go to the top guy? And we have the Holy Spirit that's here with us. We have the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to pray. Even when we don't know how to pray, he teaches us what to say when the words just don't come to us. And then on the other end of the connection, we have Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us all the way. We have got our prayers covered. They are heard, most definitely. So, we left out some important stuff in our gospel reading for today. The lectionary just did not include it, but it's your lucky day. I'm going to include it for you. Because this conversation that Jesus has with Mary, he had one with Martha before that. There's some very significant things that occurred during that conversation. So if you want to open your Bibles up to John chapter 11, I'm going to start looking at verse 21 and go down a few verses. And these are important. So let's kind of go, while you're looking that up, let's kind of go over what happened. Jesus is in prayer. He had been the people have been out to get him. They've been trying to kill him. He retreated to Perea. He's kind of hanging out there because he knows in Jerusalem they have plans to kill him. The disciples know this too. Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lives, is just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. So going to that area would put him in direct proximity of those Jews who wanted to see him dead. So going there was not a good life move if you're trying to save your life. So they get word that Lazarus is sick. So Jesus tarries for a few days. And then they get word that Lazarus is dead. And now Jesus moves out. The disciples say, Lord, what are you thinking? You shouldn't be doing this. You know they want to kill you. And he goes, yeah, but we're going to go because Lazarus is dead and it's for the glory of God. So Thomas, one of the disciples that we know him most famously for doubting, Thomas, who said, I will not believe unless I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side. Well, he's also courageous, Thomas, because Thomas said, let's go with him and die with him. He was willing to give his life with him. So they go to Bethany. They get to Bethany, and this is the conversation he has with Martha, one of the sisters, at verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You ever feel that way, that in the middle of your need, where's God? God, if you'd have been here. God, if you only would have been here. He seems to be so silent sometimes, but he's not. God is always present. And God has information that we will never have until we're with him forever. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha's well schooled. She says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now listen to these words. Listen to these words. These are some words I just let them wrap around you. As you're grieving the people that you've lost, let these words wrap around you. As you're grieving your own mortalities, we're grieving the things that we no longer have. Let the words wrap around you. Let the hope that they bring fill you. Jesus said to her, I am. Now, this is significant. Ego I me in Greek. Remember when God called Moses to lead the people out of Israel? He was in a bush that was on fire, but the fire was not consuming the bush. And he said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and lead my people out. And he goes, well, who am I supposed to say sent me? And what did God say? I am. Jesus is the great I am. Jesus is God. So in John, there's seven I ams. This is one of them. I am. He's identifying himself, and the Jews would understand that, with God himself. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe in this? Do you? Do you believe in this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That if you believe in him, you'll never die? The book of Revelation says the second death will have no power over us. The first death is the death of our sinful flesh when we come to Christ. When we come to Christ, that second death will have no power over us. So then Jesus goes on to visit with Mary. And we've read that part of it together already as the gospel reading for today. I want to highlight just a couple things. He'd been dead for 4 days. There was a smell. He wasn't just passed out. He wasn't just in a coma. He was dead. His flesh was decaying. There's no doubt about it. He was dead. This isn't a magic trick. This isn't a parlor thing. Lazarus was dead and in the tomb. And Jesus calls out, Lazarus, come forth. Now, this is really important for us to get into our heads, too. Because I don't know how your insurance company, if they know your name, or if you're just a number, the phone company, all these things. Well, to God, you're not a number. He knows your name. He's the good shepherd. Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know my voice. And when Jesus called out to Lazarus, he recognized the voice of the good shepherd. He recognized the author of his faith, the author of life. And he came forth. We see this happening again at the end of the Gospel of John. When Jesus is resurrected from the dead and Mary is there looking for his body, she sees Jesus. She thinks that he's the gardener and says, sir, tell me where you've laid his body and I will go get him. And Jesus said, Mary. And Mary recognized him. A sheep knows his voice. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Are you familiar with it? He calls out to us in his word. He calls out to us in the sacrament. He calls out to us when we are dealing with the least of these. He's present with us. So they call Lazarus out. He's dressed in grave clothes. Apparently that's what they did for embalming in those days. And this is an important thing too. He says, unbind him. That's what we need. It's sin that binds us. We need to be unbound from sin. And that's exactly the business that Jesus is in, because he's on his way to Jerusalem. In a few short days, he's going to be dead. In another couple of days, he's going to be resurrected. Now, why did he die? One of the things he said when he was on the cross was, it is finished. The Greek word for finished is tetelestai. And if I ever get a tattoo, it's going to be tetelestai, right there on my forearm. It is finished. And what that means is not just that it's over, but if you would buy a car on an installment plan and there were 48 payments to make, when you paid the 48th payment, they would stamp on it tetelestai. It's paid in full. Your sins, my sin, is paid in full when Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, went to the cross and bore our sins in his flesh for you and for me. It is finished. And the resurrection from the dead was God's seal of approval. Unbind him. Paul writes in the 6th chapter of Romans, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now we want to get into Revelation chapter 7 a little bit. A beautiful text for our purposes today. How many of you know when the saints go marching in? Oh, I'd love to be in that number. Yet when I was a kid, I used to think that a number is a musical song. Like he wants to be in playing in the band that's performing that. But that's not what it means. Because in Revelation chapter 7, John of Patmos, he gets a vision of what heaven is like. And he sees this number that no one could count, from every tribe, from every nation, from every language. That's the number the writer of that song wants to be in. And are you in it? You believe in Jesus? Yes. You are in that great number of every tribe, of every nation, every language. All the barriers that we put up among ourselves are going to be removed. We're going to be one flock. We're going to be one people of God gathered around the Good Shepherd. I'd love to be in that number. The angel says to John, who are these people? And John says a smart thing. Sir, you know. Instead of trying to guess, he goes, you know, why don't you tell me? So he goes, I will. They are the ones who have come out of the Great Tribulation. So what is the Great Tribulation exactly? Is it something that's awarded only for those people that have suffered to the point of death? Are they the ones that are in heaven and the rest of us are somewhere lower or different? No. No. The Greek word for tribulation is philistis. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, in this world there will be philistis. There will be trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So these people that are gathered before the throne are your loved ones that we're going to read today that have died in the faith. The loved ones that have passed even before this list. Anybody that dies in the faith are among that number. They've been come out of the Great Tribulation. Do I have to tell you today that we are living in a Great Tribulation? We are. There's a battle going on. It's a spiritual battle. The devil is fighting for your souls. I see dead people. They're everywhere. We have a message of life to bring to people. And Jesus is counting on us to get more into that number of saints that will be gathered around his throne. Jesus is our Redeemer. He redeems nature. Our reading in Revelation chapter 7 says the sun will no longer beat and scorch people. He redeems nature. He redeems our emotions. He redeems everything. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There's no more mourning, no more sorrow. Isaiah prophesied the day of the Lord. He prophesied that there'll come a day when the child will lay down in the cobra's nest, that the lion will lay down with the lamb, that we'll all be at peace with one another. So let me end up with this idea of what eternal life is. We believe, teach, and confess, generally speaking. Of course, we're Lutherans, and there's not 100% agreement among anybody, that we believe, teach, and confess that eternal life happens in three modes. One, we have it now. We have it now when we put to death our flesh by coming to faith in the waters of our baptism. So we are currently having eternal life. It's not just a quantity of life, it's a quality of life. We walk through each day with Jesus Christ as our Lord. The second thing is, if we die before Christ comes back, we'll go to heaven. And that's what this Revelation chapter 7 text is all about. Those who have believed in Christ before he returns. And then there's the final consummation of God's promise, when Christ returns and restores all creation. Jesus says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. I want you to take those words home with you today. And remember that even though we might not be able to see it in our present flesh, that God has promised it. And God always keeps his promises. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.